me. But anyway, so pray for this family and pray for this church, and we'll pray for them. Let's read the scriptures, then we'll pray for them, and we'll pray for our message this morning as well. But we're in Mark chapter 5, and we're going to read through verse 13, 1 through 13. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, saying, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Let's pray. Father, we come before your presence this morning, and we thank you for the word of God. And we trust that as we open the scriptures today, you will speak to our hearts in that way that only you can. As we consider Jesus and his power, I pray, Lord, that this message would really sink into our soul and into our spirit. And then, Lord, we certainly pray for the folks at Faith Baptist this morning as they mourn the loss of their youth leader. And, Lord, what a wonderful Christian man he was, led many young people to the Lord and had a great influence in their lives. And I pray, Father, that even though he is gone now, that that influence would continue in their lives. Comfort his family. Comfort that church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, this passage of scripture that I'm preaching on this morning is surrounded by situations that seem to be impossible to deal with. And I mean impossible as far as man is concerned. For example, in Mark chapter 4 and chapter 5, we read of situations that only the Lord Jesus could deal with. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus and his disciples were sailing on the Sea of Galilee when a tremendous storm overwhelmed their boat. The storm was so severe, it seemed like all of his disciples were going down to a watery grave. And while that storm far exceeded their ability, it posed no problem to the master of the sea. Jesus calmed the storm, and he calmed his men. And then in chapter 5, which we'll be focusing on this morning, Jesus encounters this man possessed by thousands of demons. This poor demon-possessed man was in a desperate situation. He was unable to help himself, and no one else could help him. No one except Jesus. Jesus delivered him from the demons and changed his life forever. And then after this incident, Jesus dealt with a diseased woman that no doctor could help. She'd been sick for many years. She'd been to every doctor. She'd tried every remedy. She had spent all of her money, and nothing helped. But along came Jesus, and healed her instantly. And then after that situation, the Lord dealt with a dead girl. And again, no man could help her, but Jesus raised her from the dead. As I said, all four of these situations were hopeless from a human perspective. And yet in each of these cases, Jesus proved that he was the master of them all. For example, if that demon-possessed man were alive today, he would be sent to live in a mental institution. And that diseased woman would have been sent to a terminal care ward. And that dead girl would have been sent to a cemetery. But Jesus made a major difference. This passage teaches us that whether he faced the storms or demons or diseases or death, Jesus was able to handle whatever came his way. Now, as far as mankind is concerned, in all four situations, they were hopeless. And as we focus in on the demon-possessed man this morning, we see just how hopeless he really was. Everyone around him had done everything they could possibly do to help him. But no one could help him. He lived his life in isolation, in desperation, and in devastation. And I'm so thankful that God has seen fit to reveal the life of this man in the scriptures. Because many times we find ourselves in the same situation. We feel isolated. We feel desperate. We feel devastated. And this poor guy, his only companions were the dead bodies in the cemetery and the demons that dwelt within him. But when Jesus Christ walked into this hopeless situation, he changed everything. Everything. So let's look carefully this morning at this, and I want you to see basically two things. Two things. First, we see the savage. The savage. Now, I know it's not nice to call someone a savage, but this is the only way this man could really be described. Let's look at this a little bit again, verses 1 through 5. It says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with chains and fetters, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." This poor demon-possessed man in the scriptures, which was in such bad shape that he had to be tied up like you would tie up a vicious animal. Now, after reading these verses, I have to tell you, in my 37 years of pastoring, I've met up with all kinds of people with all kinds of problems. But I have never met anyone that was worse than this man. Never met anyone worse than this man. And look at his problem here. Look at these verses again. I know we're reading them over and over again, but I want them to really sink in. Verse 2, "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately I met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs." What a place to dwell. "And no man could bind him with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. And look what he did. The fetters had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. This man is demon possessed. That is, the devil is his master. And this man is in a state of utter hopelessness and absolute helplessness. He's under the control of Satan. We're told here that he has an unclean spirit. And then we find out that he's not just the home of one foul spirit. He's possessed by a legion of demons. We read that in verse 9, right? And he, that is Jesus, asked him, really speaking to the demons within him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, a legion in the Roman army was 6,000 men. 6,000 men. And in verse 13, we are told that when the demons were forced to leave this man's body, they entered into a herd of swine that numbered about 2,000. And once they entered them, they all ran into the water and drowned. You see, this poor, pitiful individual was totally under the control of the devil. Now, I think that we all would be totally surprised today if we knew how many of the people we come into contact with are controlled by Satan as well. I would remind you that this demon-possessed man's situation is really no different than that of every lost soul in the world today. You know, in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus said this about lost souls. He said, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And so this man's condition is not really that much different from every lost soul in the world today. The problem of this man in our text was thousands of demons had taken over his life. He was of his father, the devil. He was controlled by Satan. That was his problem. But we see here not just his problem, we also see his pain. His pain. This man had brought a lot of misery into the lives of those who knew him, but he also brought a lot of misery into his own life. We read there again, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he'd been often bound with fetters and chains, and had been fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. And then it goes on, and he tells us also how he would go and cut himself with stones in verse 5. Now, two words really describe his condition here. The words are tombs and chains. Tombs and chains. Those words reveal the truth that this man had his dwelling among the dead. Now, in those days, people were not usually buried in the ground. Tombs were carved into the hillsides, and the bodies were placed there. And because of the demons within this man, he spent his time with the bones and the decaying corpses of the dead. And again, we're told in verse 4 that the people around him tried their best to restrain him from hurting himself and hurting others. They would catch him and bind him with fetters and chains. Fetters would have been attached to his feet. Chains would have bound his hands and his arms and his torso. But these man-made devices could not hold him. With that demon power within them, he broke those chains and fetters apart apart as easily as a person tears a piece of paper. And I'll tell you this, when we look at this poor soul, it isn't hard to make the leap from his condition to the condition of the lost people around us. They are trapped in that same state of pitiful depravity. The sin that possesses the heart of the lost sinner drives him to spend his days and waste his years with those who are also dead in sin. Death and the works of deadness are all they care about. The lost hate things that pertain to life in Christ. They hate everything that has to do with God and his work in the world. That's why you have to literally beg them to attend church. They have 1,000 excuses for why they don't come to church. And you notice I said excuses because they really have no reasons. They just have a bunch of excuses. They'd rather sit home and watch television with those who live in the darkness of sin. The lost folks act like they act because they are sinners. And we see here the powerlessness of this demon-possessed man to do anything about this. Again, verse 5, always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. He is living among the tombs. He is naked. He runs around like a wild man day and night. He cuts himself with rocks. His body is covered with blood and scars. He is filthy. He smells. He is terrifying to all who see him. And he screams and he yells in his torment. And he lives this lifestyle because he is under the control of Satan. He is in a desperate situation and he needs help. And let me tell you this. Whether you are lost and bound in sin, or whether you are saved and out of the will of God, there's only one cure for your condition. You don't need a pill. You don't need a psychiatrist. You don't need the pastor. You don't need a program. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. He's the antidote for the poison of sin. He is the cure for your condition. He is the solution to your problem. Just consider this man's desperate, wretched condition. It is horrible. And the reality is, this man's life could be laid like a template over billions of others. There may be people right in this room this morning, and certainly within our town, certainly within our state, who are defiled and depraved and desperate. There are millions and billions in this world just like this man. Now, they might not be as wild and as wicked as this man, but they need help. They need help. They need someone far more powerful than they are to set them free. And there's only one place where they can find the help they need. And this text tells us about him, and his name is Jesus. And so we see the savage. Now let's look at the Savior. The Savior. Look at verses 6 through 13 again. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked together in the sea. And so in verses 6 through 13, we see some hope for this man. And let me show you some things about this Savior. First, his compassion. His compassion. We read there in verse 6, and when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran to worship him. Now, everyone in that region feared this demon-possessed man. And they fled in terror when he came near. Everyone feared and avoided and despise this man, and they would run away from him when he came. But Jesus had compassion on him. Jesus did not run when he came. Jesus cared about the condition he was in, and Jesus was moved to do something about it. You know, we see people, and sometimes we think that they're a lost cause. And by the way, there might be some folks here that people used to think that about you before you gave your heart to the Lord. They thought you were a lost cause. But praise the Lord, no one is beyond the compassionate touch of the Master. Not the Samaritan woman at the well, not Zacchaeus up his little tree, not Saul on the Damascus road, not the Ethiopian eunuch driving along in his chariot. There is a compassionate Savior waiting to set you free. You see, Jesus sees people with a different set of eyes than we do. We see their sins. He sees what he can make of their lives. We might see an old drunk. He might see a deacon. We might see a drug addict. He might see a preacher. We might see a harlot. He might see a Sunday school teacher. You see, he will take what you give him, and he'll give you something much more precious in return. He will change your life completely. Why? Because of his compassion. Because of his compassion. But not only do we see his compassion, we also see here his confrontation. In verses 6 through 13, this man who ran from everyone else ran to the Lord Jesus and fell at his feet. The demons that drove this man away from all human relationships drove him to the feet of Jesus. Now, these demons did not fall down before Jesus to worship him as Lord. No, they fell down in acknowledgement of his deity. They knew that Jesus was God in the flesh. They were bowing in subjection to him. In verse 7, the demons acknowledge the deity and the authority of Jesus, and they beg him not to torment them. That is, they beg him not to send them to hell. And in verse 8, Jesus confronts the demons, ordering them to release the man. And in verse 11 and 12, of course, the demons requested that that they might be allowed to enter into a herd of swine that was feeding nearby. And in 13, Jesus gives them permission, and they leave the body of the man and they enter the swine. And this verse, this passage, if you think about it, teaches us that man is the most depraved creature in existence. Notice, this one man could tolerate a legion of demons. As I said, a Roman legion consisted of 6,000 soldiers. If you do the math, there were 2,000 swine in that herd. That comes out to 3 demons per pig. They couldn't even tolerate the presence of 3 demons. And yet this man was able to live with thousands. This just illustrates the human capacity for evil, for evil. But as we bring this to a close, I want you to consider Jesus' command in this chapter. In verse 8, we read, "Come out from the man, thou unclean spirit." Verse 13, forthwith Jesus gave them leave. We see that every human effort had failed to deliver this poor soul from his bondage. But one word from Jesus, and he was free. This is the glory of God's salvation. Man can try his religious works, but they will fail to save him. Man can try his psychological treatments to deal with his guilt, but they will never convert the sinner's heart. Man can try his pills and his potions and his programs and his practices, but they will never save a single soul from hell and get them into heaven. There's only one solution and one solution only to the problem of sin, and his name is Jesus. Jesus. And so we see the savage and the Savior as they meet. And we see what the Lord does. And I guarantee you this, you cannot meet Jesus and remain the same. He changes all who come to him in faith and receive him as their Savior and Lord. Look at verse 15. We didn't read that far, but look at verse 15. This is what happens when the city comes to see what went on. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Jesus clothed him and Jesus calmed him. What a picture of the total change that salvation brings to the converted sinner. The Apostle Paul describes it, and I'm sure you're familiar with this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17, when he says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Jesus literally gives everyone he saves a brand new life. Jesus easily took care of this hopeless situation, and he can do the same for anyone. He is the master of the hopeless situation. With him, there are no hard cases. There are only powerful solutions. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And thank you for this tremendous testimony from the Scriptures of the life-changing, saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, my prayer is that if there's anybody in this room today who does not know Christ as their Savior in a personal way, that they would see this to be their great need. Help them to understand that there is no forgiveness of sin. There is no deliverance from the power of sin. There is no hope of eternal life or a home in heaven without putting your faith and trust in Christ. Help them to come to grips with that. And help them this morning to call out to Christ and receive him as Savior and Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.